Time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Today, for just a quick, brief observation, pop culture and politics will blend together. I grew up loving Hollywood. Yeah, I did. I absolutely loved Hollywood. I loved movies. I faithfully watched my favorite television shows. I grew up on television. I'm not really proud of that, but it's true. I was one of those baby boomers. My favorite TV shows at night were so exciting. Once I got into high school, I had a real life. But even that was associated with drama. I was part of the drama club. I was in many of their productions. I did a great deal of acting in high school, went on to do a great deal of acting in college. And in college, and even a little bit back in high school, I started experimenting with writing. I wanted to become a playwright someday. That was the career I chose in my mind. After I became a Christian, I went into full-time ministry, but I've still used drama in my ministry. Before going to seminary and graduating seminary, I remained at the secular college, San Jose State University, graduated as a drama major. As part of my ministry, and it's only one part, but a significant part, I have traveled all over the country doing one-man dramatic readings of my 14 different plays, changing my voice for each character. I've also directed fully cast productions of many of these plays. And today I continue with my love for fiction writing. I am at work on an 11-part series of novels, 11 volumes in all, some of them very thick, five of which have already been published. A sixth, well, it should be coming out sometime this year. Okay. Now, none of this personal resume is really all that important. It's only a disclaimer right now, as a matter of fact. It's all just to say that my love for the arts is alive and well, not only in my personal enjoyment, but my personal participation. Unfortunately, my love for Hollywood is not alive and well. It's practically dead. Maybe not completely dead, but practically dead. Independent films? Sure. I love independent films. As for Hollywood, well, as you know, I've already done several radio shows talking about their predictable stories and their predictable endings. All that put aside, what really smells is their predictable politics. I gotta tell you, I used to look forward to the Academy Awards every year like my friends look forward to the Super Bowl. For those of us into acting and writing, the Academy Awards were our Super Bowl. To a lesser degree, the Tonys, the Emmys, but boy, there was nothing like the Academy Awards, and I loved them. I loved when they were hosted by Bob Hope. I loved when they were hosted by Johnny Carson. As the years went by, they still had good hosts like Billy Crystal. Letterman, well, he didn't do a great job, but he wasn't as bad as the press led on. How do I feel about the Academy Awards now? I never even know when they're on. On Sunday nights on my broadcast show, my friend Jim Barrier often joins me. Sometimes he'll mention, hey, the Academy Awards are going on right now. I am so uninterested in them, I don't even know what night they're on anymore. I know it's sometime around this time of year. Who knows? Maybe they'll even be on this Sunday night or coming up soon. I don't know. I don't care. I usually don't even know what's nominated. In fact, I've come to actually hate the Academy Awards because of the politics inserted. Too many self-righteous, sanctimonious speeches from people who haven't got a clue what they're talking about. And the more smug a person is, the more clueless they usually are. Their ignorance is matched only by their arrogance, not only at awards ceremonies, but whenever they open their mouths at a press conference or an interview just to get their name back in the limelight, or who knows what their real motives are. Some of them may be sincere, but they have not researched the points they make. Yes, there are exceptions. There are always exceptions. We have to speak in generalities sometime. This is generally an extremely accurate appraisal of Hollywood. Hollywood elitists. You just gotta love them. Hollywood elitists love to talk about gun control, but they can afford to hire personal bodyguards, many of whom carry firearms. Hollywood elitists love to criticize those who want to protect our borders with tighter security, gates, and walls, but how many of them live in large protected mansions surrounded by walls, gates, and security systems? In short, Hollywood elitists are very good at making speeches. After all, they are, for the most part, well-trained actors and actresses. Now, if only they could do a better job when they speak without the script of a well-written screenplay. Instead, they tend to activate their mouths before activating their brains. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
Call Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
So, more beautiful.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Tell you something, I'm a person of routines, and like most of you, like all of you, I guess, I have a morning routine. My routine isn't the same as yours, but let me explain mine, and you'll see why I'm doing this in a moment. I wake up, I do a little bit of work in my upstairs home office, work that usually includes recording a podcast. I have a little studio up here too. Recording a podcast or printing up some supplement to a project I was working on yesterday on my computer. Then I work out, shower, shave, go through all the hygiene, brush my teeth. I go for a morning prayer walk and eventually find myself at Starbucks with my laptop. Yes, Starbucks, my chain of offices around the entire city and around the entire country when I'm traveling. I do so many different types of ministry. I'm grateful for the variety, and I work on so many different types of projects, from fiction writing to nonfiction writing to Bible study preparation to teaching in person, teaching on the air, podcasts on weekdays, broadcasts on weekends. Seldom do 2 days in a row look exactly the same. That is, not exactly the same in the second portion of the day while deciding which of my variety of projects I'm going to be working on that particular afternoon. However, it is precisely because the majority of my day never is in a rut that adding to it a rut, so to speak, otherwise known as a routine, well, this routine is an important anchor. And the anchor is in the morning as I set the day. And I have that routine down with precision. I already gave you a bird's eye view, zooming in for a moment now on the hygiene portion. I shave, then I brush my teeth, then I shower, then I get dressed, then I splash on aftershave. I know, nothing incredibly original here, but it is nice when we can put our minds on autopilot while performing the simplest tasks. It's restful. It's easy. Usually easy, that is. On some occasions, even the routine goes a bit sideways, like just the other day, for instance. Yeah. So, the other day, I'm all done shaving. I reach up into the cabinet where the toothpaste normally is. It's not there. Now, this is a brand new tube of toothpaste, already used, already broken in, brand new tube of Crest. I ask my wife if she's seen it. She hasn't seen it. Where would I have possibly put the toothpaste? I know it would never find its way into my briefcase, and I don't brush my teeth while watching TV. A lot of people do. I don't. Never have. I do, however, get absent-minded even in the midst of routine. It occurred to me that since shaving precedes teeth brushing, and since after using a razor with shaving cream, I do an additional once-over with an electric shaver, a shaver that gets put away, not back up on the cabinet, but in a drawer below the sink. If I had been lost in intense thought, daydreaming type thought, during those moments of transition between winding down the shaving time and embracing the toothbrush time, I just might have reached for the toothpaste above and set it inside the lower drawer with the electric shaver below. Such was my train of thought that morning. A train of thought I shared out loud with my patient wife, who was waiting for me to wrap it up so that she could put her favorite morning devotional, Joyce Myers, back on. Poor Joyce right now was freeze-framed on the DVR. While I was sharing my brilliant deductions with Dana, deductions which, interestingly enough, turned out to be true, yes, playing a hunch, I opened the sink drawer and there it was, my tube of Crest right next to my shaver. I was insufferably pleased with myself, but only for a moment. After all, I really did nothing more than troubleshoot my own absent-mindedness. It's easy to be a detective and solve a crime when you're not only the detective, but the culprit as well. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Always good to be joined by my faithful producer. Say hello again to Brendan Thomas.
Good evening, Bob. How are you doing today?
Doing okay. How are you, Brendan?
I am doing fantastic. To make a comment from an earlier monologue that you've had earlier tonight, the Oscars are next week officially. I'm just going to get a general poll very quickly of how many people care that the Oscars are going on next week. Okay. Just wanted to make sure if anyone really did care.
Now, I must say, and I'm telling the truth when I say that I don't really follow them anymore, but I'm watching another news show. It came to my attention that the Tom Cruise movie, the sequel,
Top Gun Maverick,
Top Gun, is nominated for Best Picture. And if that thing won some awards, I could get a little bit excited about that. I think that that movie was so much like a movie of the past. There was nothing woke about it or politically correct. People were going on the news saying, how did this even get by? And the consensus was, well, this movie was so popular and did so incredibly at the box office and amongst critics that the Academy would have just had egg on their face if they ignored it. That's how it, anyway, that's what I was hearing
about. But at the same time, it's kind of hard for an action film to get, you know, an Oscar.
They usually don't.
Sure. Yeah.
They usually don't.
Another one that's kind of hard is horror movies, too. I remember it was so controversial back in the 70s that The Exorcist was even nominated for any award for the Academy Awards. So that was quite shocking for
I'm
sure.
I'm trying to remember, did they nominate that one for Best Picture of the Year?
No, just Best Makeup.
But, yeah.
That's it. But even then, that's kind of, it was definitely unheard of that a horror movie of all
well,
things.
Well, sometimes with special effects and things like that, they'll nominate them, but they usually don't consider it to be pristine drama. And yet, I've always said that for fantasy or science fiction to be believable, the characters have to be believable. And so if the movie was a success and critically acclaimed, that means there was good acting and there was good writing. And I would compare that with any good drama.
I mean, look at Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, won Best Picture, and it absolutely deserves it.
Return of the King won Best Picture.
Oh, Return of the King.
However, all three installments were nominated for Best Picture, and I think when they gave it to Return of the King, in reality, I think people view that as one long movie. And I think that was their way of honoring all three of them.
Oh, I see now. Okay. But yeah. Personally, I'm more of
a... See, when we go into the past, I know all kinds of trivia about the Academy Awards. What's going on now? I could care less.
I have no clue either. I can't even remember who is on the Best Actor list. Anyways, that's here and there. So I have a few different cool topics that we can get into tonight. One of which is going on right here in San Diego, the San Diego Community College District. They have been under fire this entire year. And that is specifically because on January 19th, the committee board unanimously voted to terminate all unvaccinated employees with no exceptions. So that included religiously not doing it or medically as well. So obviously this was going under fire left and right. Local news stations were covering the story. And if a local news story is getting attention of this, you're in big trouble if you're on that committee board, because your name is out there for the whole public to hear about this, and they're going to get really upset. You are causing people to lose their freedom of speech and their right to choose what they want to do as individuals to not get vaccinated.
Which they obviously didn't care about, but when their names got out there, then they did care about it, shows that the same spinelessness that caused the decree in the first place is causing them to recant.
Right. So this past Friday, the board stated that they are no longer going to terminate those employees, and they will review the reinstatement process for these employees. San Diego Community College District released the following statement after the decision was made. The Board of Trustees of the San Diego Community College District remains committed to providing safe and healthy education and work environments for all members of our communities. We recognize our communities have differing perspectives on COVID-19 and vaccination requirements. The district will continue to require employees to be vaccinated against COVID-19. It will continue to provide religious and medical exemptions and accommodations where safe and reasonable. In light of the improved public health conditions in San Diego County, the district is reevaluating accommodation options for employees who have been subject to disciplinary action. Accommodation options for terminated employees will be reassessed as part of an appeal procedure. At this time, the Board of Trustees is not considering any employee terminations related to the COVID-19 vaccination requirement. As public health conditions in our region continue to improve, we are excited to see our communities returning to in-person classes and services as we expand access, success, and equity in our wide range of educational programs and support services. The district cannot comment on confidential personnel matters involving individual employees. So that is their statement after the whole situation.
Okay, now I'm trying to make sure I heard the statement correctly. It sounded like they're saying, okay, we're going to go back on those of you that applied for exemptions and we're not allowed them. We're going to allow you back. We'll hire you back and let you have your exemption, or at least we'll reevaluate your exemption. But it sounded like I was hearing, however, they're still going to require it. But then it sounds like they're also reevaluating whether they're going to require it. So
Did I hear all that? Something like that. Yeah, it was so vague. And on top of that, keep in mind,
could have given a clearer answer than that.
On top of that, we have medical and religious exemptions. So not even just personal preference, like if you personally still don't feel safe with having the vaccine in your system. They still aren't considering
that. Well, I would consider
that
a medical exemption if you don't think it's physically safe.
I would think so too, but they were talking more or less
like
from
a note from your doctor.
Exactly. Yeah. For example,
and then the doctors that want to write the notes, they've got a law in California now that doctors aren't allowed to give misinformation, and there's a line they have to toe about COVID, or it's called misinformation. But a lot of these things are up in the air. There's a new study that just came out, and they're now saying that I don't think they're saying the vaccine never worked on anybody at all, but they're saying more or less it was nothing like it was cracked up to be, and they're saying that the masks were basically worthless.
I was going
to
say, I saw a science study that said that the masks were absolutely helping us in no shape, way, or form in the first place, so I don't understand that whole process.
And we don't see a whole lot of apology for ruining people's lives over this. Look how many people were put out of work. Look how many businesses had to shut down.
Instead, it's a lot of pointing fingers like, oh, I didn't do that. It was that side. Yeah, no, it was that side. Dr.
Come
Fauci
on, you guys. It was a joke. Where's your sense of humor?
Do you know what they say about people that point fingers? They're three fingers pointing back
exactly,
at you.
Exactly.
All right, so let's get into the main topic I wanted to talk about tonight. We have some amazing news. I wish I had my cheery... Oh, I do have my applause button here ready for everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, Lori Lightfoot is losing her re-election bid in Chicago. Yes, yes. I wish I had the bigger applause, but this is the one I have.
Well, we'll take any applause we can get because that puts a smile on my face and a pace in my step.
That's right. So this is the first time in 30 years that Chicago has ditched its mayor within the first term. That is insane to know that Chicago has been reelecting a lot of these
mayors. Well, it would have been insane if they hadn't ditched her. She was a nightmare. Walking disaster.
So let's look at what happened this past Tuesday in its elections. She received 16.4% of the vote, trailing Cook County Commissioner Brandon Johnson at 20.2 and former Chicago Public Schools Chief Paul Vallis at 35%. Now, here's her statement on why she lost the reelection. She says, and I quote, "I'm a black lesbian woman in America. Certain folks frankly don't support people like us in leadership roles." I would say I disagree entirely on that statement. I'm assuming that you are disagreeing with that statement, Bob.
Oh, the fact that she was a hypocrite, where she would close things down and tell you you're not allowed to get a haircut, but then she gets a haircut. The fact that crime went up, I can't even keep track of the percentage, the defunding of the police, the fact that Chicago just isn't safe, and perhaps, just maybe, those are the reasons they didn't like her?
Maybe.
I'll bet you anything, and I wasn't following her election. I heard about her after she became a mayor during COVID, so I wasn't following her election, but I would be willing to go to Vegas and bet money before checking the news from a few years ago, and I'll bet the fact that she was a black lesbian was a huge part of her campaign, and she got elected.
Probably.
So the people that elected her suddenly became racist because they didn't want to reelect her? No. They got a taste for her being in office.
I would say the same thing about Obama's run, too. I've met plenty of people where they didn't
vote for him the second time.
Yeah, exactly. And the original time they voted for him, the only reason I heard them say was because, he can be our first black president ever. And I'm like, what about his policies? What about, you know?
Everything? I ran into an old friend of mine, Christian friend, and he says, I voted for Obama. I wanted us to have a black president. I said, okay, what was it about his policies that you like? He looked at me like he didn't even know what his policies were. He looked at me like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah, because they didn't follow it that well, or they didn't really look into it. They were more focused on the fact that, we can make history by putting them in.
And then you can say to them, look, I didn't vote for Obama. I'll just say it. I didn't vote for Obama, but I was a big supporter of Ben Carson. Ben Carson was my first choice in the Republican primary of 2016, the one that Trump eventually won. But Ben Carson was my first choice. Oh, but that doesn't count because he's conservative, which means he's not really black. See, they just make this stuff up.
I know.
So no matter what you say, they're going to call you a racist because they don't have real arguments to
give. No, they're just quick to pull the trigger and pull out the racist card very quickly.
And let me say this, even though as a Christian, I've made no secret about this and the Bible makes no secret about it, I do not believe or agree with the same-sex lifestyle. That doesn't mean I disrespect people as persons. I've heard many conservative gay people come on TV and I listen to their ideas and I'd say I'd vote for this guy in a heartbeat because when it's politics, you want to just put in somebody that's going to provide for the defense and provide for our safety. And we just need to have a few things in common. Government shouldn't be that big anyway. And so a person's lifestyle is their own business. When they start making it the issue, then they feel that they're invulnerable to any kind of criticism.
Right, right. So I would like to go over some reasons where I think she was completely wrong in this statement. So we're going to look at all of her history to see where she actually went wrong with the public eye, possibly. And these are just some of the many, many reasons why she didn't get reelected. Let's go back to when she first got into the public eye. Way back in 1999, she started her political career as an assistant United States attorney for the Northern District of Illinois. Lightfoot was at that point issued a warning of misconduct by Judge Richard Posner in a case in which she was found by the United States Court of Appeals in the Seventh Circuit to have misled the judge regarding a suspect's whereabouts, making it impossible for the judge to say where the suspect's extradition to Norway is. In other words, we were supposed to give a criminal over to Norway in this district area, and she was misleading them on where his whereabouts were exactly. Already lying. So we're already lying to the public. That's number one on our first of the list. In 2002, Lightfoot was appointed as Chief Administrator of the Chicago Police Department Office of Professional Standard. The governmental program is now defunct because the Chicago Tribune reported that the actual program itself was often lacked thoroughness in terms of disciplining all these police officers that they were finding guilty. Lightfoot said that her recommendations for disciplinary actions were often rejected by the police department, and her actions on multiple cases would only lead to only a 30-day suspension, and that was the most that they could do for that situation. So now we're already getting into the blame game. Oh, there's only so much I can do. I only have so much responsibility. It's their fault that they're making me do that. So we have lying. We have not taking responsibility on our plate so far. Are we having a good time yet with her? I would say no so far, but we got
plenty
more.
She's a jewel. What problem could anyone have had with her?
I know.
Why, oh, why could they ever have been concerned?
We got one more thing before she runs into office very quickly. In 2015, that time was Mayor Rahm Emanuel as Chicago mayor, and he appointed Lightfoot as chair of a special police accountability task force. She filed a report that was critical of the Chicago Police Department's practices at that time, specifically criticizing the police union for a code of silence. And that was it. She just filed a report saying, you guys are violating a code of silence to all police officers. You need to work on that. That was it. Obviously, that didn't really help with Chicago's police officers, because obviously they are continuously having issues being protested against them every single day in Chicago, with all the violence ramping up and police shootings possibly going on over there too. And then the anti-police brutality activist organization Black Youth Projects 100's Chicago chapter denounced Lightfoot, the board, and the task force for a lack of accountability for all their actions so far. So basically, so far we have laziness now, not taking responsibility, and lying. So this is all just before running for mayor, and I'm surprised people weren't opening their eyes then. Again, it was
probably made to feel that they were racists and homophobes if they didn't put her in.
And that's the fact, I'm going to be voting the first publicly open gay person.
Oh, I can be a part of history.
Yeah. I could. Oh man, this is going to be amazing. I can't wait to tell my future kids. I don't want to tell them about this yet, but anyways, let's get into the fact that
part of history. They voted in the worst mayor Chicago had ever had, and was a pretty low bar to have the worst mayor Chicago ever had.
So Lightfoot became mayor on May 20th, 2019. She won 73% of the overall vote, but get this, the voter turnout was just 32% of Chicago's population. It was the lowest turnout in history for mayor voting. I mean, give me a break. So that's obviously not the hundreds of weird secret votes that Biden was getting somewhere. This is some taking away votes, I feel like, and then just discarding them possibly. I don't want to get into that. But it could be possible. I don't know. So let's go over the different policies she wanted to do as mayor. The first policy she decided to hit was a casino policy of all things. So right as soon as she became mayor, there was a law that passed saying that they would allow casinos now in Illinois and gambling. It would help with funding more government means and infrastructure, apparently, they said.
And help make up for the tax dollars they're losing as people flee the city of Chicago.
Yes, exactly. They needed something, at least. So while the state did not approve a city-owned casino, which Lightfoot was extremely pushing, because that way they can get a lot of money. If it's city-owned, therefore, we can take all the money. Right now, what the actual legislation says is they can only take a third of the money of the profits away from the casinos. So therefore, it's not as much to work with as a city. So she's saying, oh, well, if we build our own and it's a city-owned, we get 100%. So there we go. But anyway, state legislation only allowed for privately-owned casinos from the city. Lightfoot has continued to push. However, the state has not authorized yet to jointly owned by the city and the state, and with a lesser effective tax rate than past legislation specified. On May 5th, 2022, Lightfoot announced that she had selected a bid from Bally's Corporation to construct a casino resort on the west bank of Chicago River, which would have been a city-owned property. But guess what? That company that won, which was Bally's Corporation, they filed for bankruptcy back in this February of this year. So, I wish I had that sound effect too ready. But
We also need Barbra Streisand singing Memories in the background.
So, there goes your plan for the casino. But, okay, casino idea is out of reach. Maybe we can look into some other policies here. What about our education system? How's that been doing in Chicago? Tanking. I don't know if you noticed the test records. Reading and math has been going downhill like crazy in Chicago. And she's blaming on the fact that we've been funding other things besides Chicago public schools itself. It's been going to other things such as police and everything like that, which, I mean, I disagree.
Well, maybe if the students were learning about math and reading instead of learning about gender and learning arguing about critical race theory. And
Here's another idea.
I mean, the white people sit in the back because of all their privilege. Maybe they'd get a real education.
Or here's another thing. How about you teach them about how violence is not the answer to anything? How about don't show them that kind of gun issue right now at their early age? Instead,
anything about personal responsibility.
They had the opportunity. They had a huge grant from the federal government to help out with the schools. And what did they use that money for? Textbooks, desks, better teachers, maybe something like that? No, they bought more PE equipment, specifically basketballs, because they thought sports would be a way to distract the kids from violence.
Oh, that's something we've been hearing about for decades. Midnight basketball will keep the kids off the streets. What keeps kids off the streets is values.
Mm-hmm.
And then it doesn't matter if they're on the streets or not on the streets. The streets are neutral. It's the way they behave, whether they're on the streets or in the basketball court.
I know. If you set those values, those kids will look up to those values and actually fall through on those values. By you diminishing them and basically stereotyping them, oh, all you guys are going to be student athletes and you guys are going to be just these.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You're not helping.
They're treating them the way they're accusing others of treating them. It's actually a racist, stereotypical thing in many cases to say, well, this people group acts this way, that people group acts that way.
So there was a teacher strike in October 2019. Lightfoot cited that the strike was having a negative impact on, and I'm not kidding you, this is the order she put on. Student athletes was first. Second off was students who needed to apply to colleges. And then lastly was the education of all Chicago students.
That was the third priority.
That was the last priority. Wow. I would have switched it up entirely. I would have gone first, the education
of
students.
I had not heard a lot of this stuff. I should say it's surprising, but it's not because of other things that woman has done. None of this is really a surprise.
And we're still just continuing on. I don't know if I can. This is radio, everybody, but I still have a whole page. I'm only at the top of the page here, ladies and gentlemen.
Where is that on site radio cam when we need it? Yeah, he's got a real list here.
I know. Lightfoot at that point then had an approval rating of 54% in Chicago.
That's amazing that she ever had that approval rating
that high. I know.
Yeah. I know it went down, but it's amazing to me that she ever had it at all.
Yeah, 19%. Of the 54% that did vote for Lightfoot's approval rating did actually blame Lightfoot for the strike itself for happening in the first place. Teachers were asking for better pays and everything. And she was saying, oh, well, what you're asking for is $2.6 billion and pay for the next 3 years. And Chicago doesn't have that much tax money to help pay for that situation. So I can't help you with that. Somehow they were able to delegate and be helped out for the next 5 years. So we'll see how it goes in 2024. But until then, we still got a lot of other issues to get through. In June 2019, she announced that the city's police department would not assist U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, in other words, denying ICE access to city's police database in an effort to prevent the city's illegal immigrant population from facing deportation. When all these illegal immigrants could possibly be criminals, you have no idea about. You just denied them from accessing that information and knowing whether or not there's an illegal in that business or in this other public area. Now we get into the COVID stuff. This is the fun part here that you were discovering her. So in March, she decided to go get a haircut. And of course, at that point, we had the limitations.
She had passed a law that you weren't allowed to get a haircut, among many other things, but that was one of them.
Yeah. So when the public found out, let's hear what her response was again.
I'm out in the public eye. And, you know, I'm a person who I take my personal hygiene very seriously. As I said, I felt like I needed to have a haircut. I'm not able to do that myself, and so I got a haircut.
Well, well, well.
Who is able to get a haircut themselves? Who is not concerned about their hygiene? The only difference is she's in the public eye. Boy, is she ever.
Yeah, I know. Even more so. I can't remember. Was this first? And then after that, we found out that Newsom actually went to that restaurant.
I believe this happened before Newsom and the French restaurant. And then the other strike three
Pelosi
getting her hair done in the middle of the night because the place was not allowed to be open.
Dean Don.
Hearing their responses with all these things.
I know. Dean Don, hello. You guys set up these laws. How about you follow through and stop being hypocrites and actually follow through on some of what you put in? Next month, on April 8th, Lightfoot was criticized for suspending the Freedom of Information Act request deadlines, saying, I want to ask the average Chicagoan, would you like them to do their job or would you like them to be pulled off to do FOIA requests? And then she invoked the Old Testament by saying, I'm mindful that the fact that we're in the Passover season, the angel of death that we all talk about is the Passover story. And then Lightfoot was actually awarded awarded by a digital rights group, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, for the Faro Prize for Deadline Extensions.
I love it when politicians who on one hand, on one side of their mouth, will talk about separation between church and state when the Bible doesn't go along with one of their pet issues. But then they'll go and they'll quote the Bible.
Yeah, to you know, be like, oh, but
the same Old Testament that she's quoting says things about same sex, but obviously she's not reading that part of the Bible.
No. It's only to help her in her own points, which is usual for most politicians, I would say. In August 2022, she prohibited people from protesting on her block where she was living at the time. She said she was not feeling safe at the time in Chicago. Oh, really? I did not realize that.
Even though she's one of the few that has armed security. Anybody in public office.
Right. And keep in mind, this was around the same time as, I forgot what her name was, but she was actually saying, you go into these restaurants and protest and actually get in their face.
I know Maxine Waters
was saying that. And people were actually redoing that and actually doing that to conservative politicians. And now all of a sudden here comes conservatives doing it back. But now we got to shut it down.
How rude. They're shouting in my face. Well, yeah, it's rude on both sides.
November 12th. Lightfoot evokes more stay-at-home restrictions. These were even stricter than the last ones. And guess what happens a few days later? She goes to a celebration event for Biden's victory of the election, which, you know, controversial still, but whatever.
Well, now, let's be fair. She is in the public eye.
Yeah.
So she had a right to do that.
Yeah, I guess
because
so.
You and I are not in the public eye.
But keep in mind, she had a limitation of only 10 people can be at any big event at this point. And she actually went to an event where 500 people were there.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You and I are only in the public ear because we're on the radio. One of these days, maybe we'll be promoted to eye, but right now we're in the ear.
I will say, I have to remind my wife, you know, you are married to a local celebrity here. She's like, get over yourself. On May 19th, 2021, Lightfoot stated she would only choose reporters of color to interview her on her two-year anniversary in office. Of course,
Not a racist decision at
no,
all.
No, of course not. No. And of course, many people were using the First Amendment for sure, because that's freedom of press and freedom of speech. You're rejecting these reporters on. I mean, my goodness gracious, wake up. You talk about how minorities don't have the right to speak up, and now you're actually going to make only minorities.
Well, the rules are constantly being rewritten. It's said today that any person of color cannot possibly be a racist. So again, if they have that kind of invulnerability and immunity built into their political careers, they can say anything they want and nobody's allowed to criticize them.
That's right. Now we're into the crime area now. Chicago Tribune claimed Lightfoot's campaign in 2019 by arguing crime was too high, and her actual motto during that year was the safest big city in the country.
I remember the safest big city in the country.
Well, get ready for this one. Crime was actually skyrocketed under her watch. There were more than 800 homicides in Chicago in 2021, which is the most in 25 years.
Isn't it a photo finish between New York City and Chicago?
Probably.
The highest crime. LA's probably not far behind.
No, too. I wouldn't be surprised. But Chicago, I believe, is only the New York and LA are the top two cities, most populated cities. That makes sense. But Chicago is not, they're only fifth or sixth, and you're getting these kind of numbers. It is so
they
sad.
They were probably safer under Al Capone than they were under her.
Oh, that does remind me. While she was back in 2015, she was announcing, hey, because of the snowstorm, everybody, and this was the worst snowstorm in Chicago, there was no shootings at all last night. So congratulations. Oh. I'm like, give me a break. Everyone stayed indoors. No wonder there was no shootings reported.
Oh, how did she make the snowfall? That's how she solved crime. Well, she should have been reelected because of what the snow did.
I know. Oh, my goodness gracious. Anyways, let's move on with more.
But wait, if she had to stay home while the snow was falling with everybody else, how could she have been in the public eye that day? So it doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't make sense either. The homicide rate stayed nearly 40% higher than in 2019. Over 20,000 theft incidences in 2022, which is twice as many as the previous year. And police say that compared to 2022, crime rates soared in the first 3 weeks of this year by 61%. So for all that promise and claim about the safest big city in the country, I would be scared to death in Chicago. And no wonder I would have voted her out of the office. Now, I will say, she did help early in her career with a lot of things going on in that local government. If you look back on her history, I will admit, she has helped out in terms of finding people that were fraudulently taking money away into the Chicago local government, such as some certain police officers, some certain local mayor employees that were going on at that time. I will admit that, but that does not deny the fact that she herself has already shown how irresponsible, how how she was already lying to the public and that she was also just straight up not qualified to help organize this whole entire situation becoming mayor of Chicago. So I'm not surprised in the slightest that she didn't get reelected by any means.
Yeah, and I think you could say of a lot of our politicians that years ago they did good things, because as time change, the narrative changes, the constituents that they have to kiss up to change, and things have gotten so politically correct that the people she's trying to please now are not the same people she was trying to please back then, or at least the agenda of those people has changed.
Right. So one last thing I will say, Chicago Police Superintendent, who, by the way, is handpicked by the mayor, David Brown, stepped down from his position right after the announcement that Lightfoot would no longer be the mayor of Chicago. That kind of draws my eye a little bit, because he's probably hand in hand with the mayor trying to get an easy paycheck possibly to slide through and be like, oh, well, we're trying our best to help out with all the people that are going on in Chicago and things of that nature. Was it her office, by the way, that she made all the police officers work, but herself and anyone in her office took the day off on a Christmas day too? I believe
that very familiar, but whether it was her or some other nutcase, I don't recall.
If it was her, I wouldn't be surprised.
I know that somebody did that. I don't recall if it was her.
I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest if that was her in the slightest. Like, come on. Like,
no, it wouldn't surprise me, but right offhand, I could think of about 20, 30 other of my favorite politicians, and if they had done it, it wouldn't have surprised me either.
Yeah, so I think we should have a quick moment of silence for our former mayor, Lightfoot.
Can we get to hear the crickets again?
Yeah, we can hear the crickets again one more time. So crickets, our moment of silence. All right, that's enough of that. Thank you so much. All right. Well, we do have time for one Bible question.
Okay,
are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Well,
so,
I think I'm ready.
All right. Let's do it. All right. So we're going to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 15. Open theists use this verse to support the idea that God's knowledge of the future is incomplete and growing. And here's what the verse actually says. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. But as he was about to destroy it, the Lord saw and was sorry over the calamity and said to the destroying angel, "It is enough. Now relax your hand." And the angel of the Lord was standing by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Are open theists right to think this way, that God changes his mind sometimes?
Well, whether or not God changes his mind and whether or not God knows everything, which is the main thing open theists say, those are two different questions.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Sorry.
Let me do the changing of the mind first. Now,
okay.
This is going to sound real unspiritual to a lot of people, but it's actually taught in the Bible. One of the reasons the Bible is so big on prayer is that God has been known to change his mind. Now, that doesn't mean God compromises his standards or his morals. It's just that there are times when there's more than one way to do things. And based on our prayers, God will say, look, I'm a just God. I have a right to show my wrath. I'm also a merciful God. I have a right to show my forgiveness. And what he chooses to do may depend on our prayers, may depend on our repentance. So God will change his mind. He was ready to wipe out the Israelites because of the golden calf thing. And Moses said, please don't do that. And God said, okay, I won't. And I've been to seminary and I've heard theologians say, well, God already intended to spare them, and the Spirit of God was living inside of Moses, and the Spirit of God was inspiring Moses. Well, it is true that none of that surprised God, but I am convinced that if Moses hadn't made that prayer, God would have wiped them out, and he could have still kept his promise to Abraham. His promise to Abraham was, I will multiply your descendants like the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. Well, Moses was one of those descendants, and God said to him, I'm going to destroy the nation, and from you I'll create a new nation. If he had jump-started the Israelites through Moses, he could have kept his promise to Abraham. So there was more than one way to skin a cat, as they say.
Yeah.
But Moses' prayer made a difference. Now, as far as whether God is all-knowing or not, yes, he's all-knowing. But what the Bible means when it teaches that is that God is removed from time. The mistake that open theists and many people make is they act like neither human beings nor God are the constant of the universe. Instead, the constant of the universe is this imaginary thing that we call a timeline. So they're saying, here's an event that has not happened yet, but God knows ahead of time that it's going to happen.
Right.
And some people will then say, oh, well, then human beings don't have any free will, because on the day that event happens, you have to do what God knew you were going to do, because if you don't do it, then God was wrong when he said he knew you were going to do it. An illustration I use a lot is, if I'm going out to lunch and I'm offered a choice between a hamburger and a salad, I'm likely to pick the hamburger over the salad. Okay. Now, does God know ahead of time that I'm going to pick the hamburger over the salad? Yes. So what? So people will say to me, oh, well then, Bob, if you were to choose to pick the salad, you would make God wrong that he knew you were going to pick the hamburger. Therefore, you didn't really have a choice. You had to pick the hamburger. And I'm going, no, no. You see, the reason God knows I'm going to eat the hamburger is he saw me eat the hamburger while I was eating the hamburger. It's just that he saw everything else in time and space at the same time. He saw me eating the hamburger, and if he wanted to, he could talk to Isaiah over a thousand years, several thousand years earlier, and tell him Bob's going to eat a hamburger someday, as if Isaiah would have cared about that or God would have cared about
that. You'd be like, what?
So he's all-knowing about what we're going to do because he's removed from time. The Bible teaches that God is removed from time. What's interesting is the Bible was saying things about time and space way ahead of quantum physics. Physicists saying things about time and space. But that's the mistake people make. They act like God gets out this crystal ball and says, well, this hasn't happened yet, but I know it's going to happen.
Right.
So now you can go back and relate it to the scripture that you're asking
about.
It would be
the angel was about to destroy Jerusalem. And as he was about to, the Lord said that you could stop now, actually relax your hand and don't do that anymore.
Now, God was upset that David was taking this census. Apparently, it was related to pride. And it was a very strange passage. He sends a prophet to David, and he says, I'm going to give you a choice. Okay, you can have famine, or you can have disease, or you can have your enemies come and conquer you and hurt you. And it's like he wants to say, well, I'll take D, none of the above, Johnny. Okay, it was one of those multiple choice things. But we're told much earlier, and this is also in the book of 2 Samuel, we're told much earlier that God was already angry at Israel for some reason, which suggests that it wasn't just David, that there was participation with other Israelites in this sin. But here we go. Did God have a right to do what he said he was going to do? And what David chose, of course, it was kind of wise. He said, better to fall into the hands of God than the hands of men. He's saying, I'd rather we got sick than have our barbaric enemies come and attack. I would make that choice. I'd rather get sick than have some soldier come over and start torturing us. So God's doing this, and he was good to his word. He said he was going to send this illness and a lot of people would die, and a lot of people did die, but then in his mercy, he went ahead and stopped. And then we're told, if we keep reading, that David was also petitioning and asking him, and he's saying, God, blame me. I'm the one responsible. Again, apparently there was some culpability of the people, but David, being a good leader, which would be refreshing when we look at politicians today, taking responsibility, saying, God, it's my fault. Please have mercy. And like he did with Moses, he had mercy. So he started doing it. Many people did die, but he did call it off and he spared them. So did God change his mind? Yes. Did he change his mind in a way that was inconsistent with a changed moral standard? No, he felt that people deserved to die, and a lot of them did. God is just and God is merciful.
Yes.
And whichever one he does, he's the same God, a just and merciful God. I always pray for his mercy, but I'm very aware that I and all of us deserve his justice. So he wasn't caught off guard. He wasn't surprised. Being outside of time, he saw what was going to happen. But looking at it outside of time, he's seeing the suffering and he's saying, okay, that's enough. I'm going to be merciful. There's nothing inconsistent about that. I actually like that the Bible tells us about that kind of God.
I agree. So, well, thank you so much for this wonderful night here, and I really appreciate it, Bob. This was a fun program to do.
Yeah, we're going to have a fun show next week. I have a friend who's an ex-Mormon and is now a Christian. We're going to talk about how and why he left the Mormon church. It's a fascinating show. Be sure to join us. Until then, this is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.